Vinton County on the Air, Episode 10, November 22nd, 2013. Welcome into Episode 10 of Vinton County on the Air, the online local audio program highlighting news and information about the people and events in Vinton County, Ohio, recorded, as I said, on the 22nd day of November 2013. We're staring at Thanksgiving week coming up here squarely in the face. Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a great day wherever you happen to be and whatever time you happen to be listening to this. Wanted to mention that we've reached that not-so-important milestone of over 500 likes on Facebook, and I appreciate any of you who nudged your Facebook friends to like our page. If you can keep doing that, that will make our network of people following Vinton County on the Air quite a bit larger. Now, if we can just get them to listen to the podcast, I'm still having a little issue converting people over to listening to the podcast. And of course, if you're hearing this, you obviously aren't part of the problem, kind of preaching to the choir. But if you can encourage others to maybe listen to the podcast, that would be great. I feel like that's kind of the hump that I've got to overcome here. I still don't know what the issue is. I've tried to shrink the size of the file a little bit. Don't know whether that's an internet access problem. I think many people don't still know what podcasts are and how to educate them and show them that big world. Got something coming up in that realm, but we'll talk about that when that gets here. Anyway, continue, if you will, to encourage your friends to look for us on Facebook and click on that all-important like button so they'll see our postings throughout the news feed. I wanted to mention that next week we won't be publishing a podcast because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So our next episode will come on Friday, December the 6th. And I hope that doesn't cause too much heartburn. I don't believe it will for any of you. You'll be involved in Thanksgiving and you'll go right past it without even missing us, I'm sure. And I bet you know what comes next. Yes, the contribute, subscribe, and share speech. Continue to send me your information. Got a couple people doing that pretty well now, and I like to include that in the community calendar. That's what we've had so far. Still looking for show ideas and community activities, and I need you to share those with me if you can. You can do so in many ways. First, there's email at vintoncountyontheair@gmail.com. Voicemail, if you want to do that, 740-569-3254. May even use your voice. Make you a star. You never know. Your message will be delivered to me if you use that number. There's always Facebook, and our Facebook page is Vinton County on the Air. And right now, as always, you can post to the Facebook page. As long as that doesn't get abused, we'll leave her open. And if you want to contact me on Twitter, direct message me at Vinton County OTA, @ Vinton County OTA. So there's lots of ways you can contribute. Subscribe, you can do so through your podcatcher on your iPhone, iPad, iPod, your Android phone, and so forth, many ways. You can also go to an internet site called Stitcher, which is pretty interesting. We are there, and you can see all the episodes there. And, of course, you can always go to DBK Media Services. You can subscribe there via email. And finally, share, particularly on Facebook. It just is amazing, the number of people that see things that are shared. When something is shared, it goes up exponentially to the number of people that see something. So if you see something that you've contributed particularly and you want to promote that, it comes up on the news feed under Vinton County on the Air. You share that out, and that really increases the number of people that see the post, and we appreciate that. As usual, we've got a pretty good lineup for you in this episode. We've got our calendar events, but at this time, because we aren't publishing a podcast next week, we'll cover not just one, but 2 weeks of what we call our community calendar and what it has to offer. Then I welcome in Angie Hill Smith. She will fill us in on the Distinguished Young Women of Vinton County event that's being held this coming Saturday. And then a repeat guest, but in a little different capacity than last time. You might recall I spoke with Tricia Kimes Brown in her role as a member of the Chamber of Commerce about the Christmas in Downtown a couple episodes ago. Today, in her official role as the Vinton County Prosecutor, we'll talk to her about the Bullyproofing Our Youth event that is happening next Monday. And finally, you know I would bring him back. Yes, Brother Carl. Carl Knox was able to work in an interesting interview with the man, the myth, the legend, the head coach of the Vinton County Vikings basketball team and the activity director, what we used to call the athletic director for Vinton County, one Mr. Matt Combs. Appreciate them taking the time to talk. I'm sure that they don't communicate throughout the week too much other than this one important interview. They'll talk basketball along with a few other things, and they'll take a few pot shots at my choice of music, I'm sure, that I use for the show. So be that as it may, we appreciate them taking the time to talk and bring us up to date on what's going on in Vinton County athletics and Vinton County basketball specifically. So all that is coming up, but first, let's go to our calendar events where we look at the events happening in our little part of paradise in our community calendar. Steely Dan there from way back when FM. Community calendar. We've got quite a few things occurring here as we start to get into the busy time of the year, it seems like. We want to remind you that throughout the next couple of weeks, actually into December, mid-December, late December, actually, we have the Helping Hands Christmas Angel Tree Project that's going on at the Herbert Westcote Memorial Library. And the Festival of the Trees is now underway. Both of those pretty much run until about Sunday, December the 22nd. They've got a couple other projects there. I encourage you to stop by the library. Director Clint Walker and the crew have quite a few things going on there. This is really one of their busy times of the year. Clint was telling me two peak times around Christmas time and then the Literary Arts Festival in the spring. Those are the busiest times for them. That is going on throughout the next couple weeks. Today, though, on the calendar, beginning this evening at between 5 and 6, pretty much, is the Vinton County High School girls basketball at the Paint Valley Classic. They're going to be playing Leesburg. They will open up their season against Leesburg Fairfield for the opening game of the annual Paint Valley Classic. Also tonight at 5 p.m., the VFW Post $52.99 Ladies Auxiliary Chicken Noodle Bake Steak Dinner. That's going on South Street. It's going to go from about 5 to 6:30. Menu includes chicken noodles for $6.50 or baked steak for $7.50, mashed potatoes, green beans, and coleslaw, roll, drink, and dessert. That's at the VFW. Tomorrow, we have something that we talked about last week, and that is the Lake Hope State Park Craft Show. That is going on from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. at the Lake Hope Dining Lodge. Lori Gruppenhoff was with us last week, and she talked about that. You can go back and listen to episode number 9 to get more details about that. Also, something we're going to talk to Angie Smith about in a little bit is the Distinguished Young Women of Vinton County. That event is going to take place at Vinton County High School. Doors open at 6, should be over around 9 o'clock. On November 24th, we don't have anything really on our calendar other than everyone's going to church and Sunday school, I'm sure. On Monday the 25th, we have Vinton County girls basketball at Unioto. The Vinton County commissioners meet at 10 o'clock at the courthouse, as usual. And then something else we're going to talk to Tricia Kimes Brown about is the Anti-Bullying Community Forum. That's called bully-proofing your youth, more about that in the interview. Doors open at 5:45. There'll be a session at 6 and 7. Each of the sessions run about 45 minutes. More on that in a little bit in the interview. On Tuesday, November the 26th, we have a parent-teacher conferences at Vinton County High School. That gets underway at 3:30. As usual, the St. Francis Center Mobile Food Pantry will be in Radcliffe at 9:30 a.m. and 1:30 it will move to New Plymouth. We also have an evening service of Thanksgiving that's going to be taking place at the Trinity Episcopal Church on Sugar Street in MacArthur. They will celebrate Thanksgiving at 7 p.m. as an offering to our community. You may bring non-perishable items such as canned or boxed foods. If you bring them there, they will share them with Care Outreach for distribution during the holidays, and refreshments will follow in the Yellow Parish House after the service. That's 7 p.m. at the Trinity Episcopal Church. And at 7:30, the Swan Township Trustees meeting, which would originally be some other time, is going to be changed to Tuesday night, 7:30 at the Swan School. And moving to November the 27th, we have no school that day. So some of you kids, if any are listening, get to sleep in. The St. Francis Mobile Food Center pantry is going to be in MacArthur. And the boys basketball preview, the Shriner preview, that was originally scheduled for Saturday, the 23rd, actually is going to take place at Athens High School at 6 p.m. On November the 27th. That is Wednesday night. So Wednesday night, before you all batten down the hatches for Thanksgiving, you can go watch Vinton County play. I think if everything is still the same as it was a few years ago, they play two quarters there. And that's the Tri-Valley Conference preview put on by the Shriners. Thursday, November the 28th, everything pretty well shut down for the Thanksgiving holiday. On the 29th, which is a week from Friday, when we'd normally be back, but as I said, we're going to take the day off, pretty much no school. Other than that, there is a Vinton County boys basketball game at Zane Trace versus Eastern Brown. That is going to take place, and I don't have the time on that. I apologize. The times were not published in the school calendar for this. Saturday, November the 30th, Vinton County girls basketball at Vinton County High School as they take on the Nelsonville Lady Buckeyes. That is on Saturday, November the 30th. There's also wrestling at the Meg's Invitational. We'll see what we can do about getting some more information on the wrestling program. Actually had a listener that mentioned that, so we'll see if we can't get Marcus Games or one of the guys on to talk a little bit about that coming up. Saturday, December the 1st is the annual Fireman's Breakfast. I'm sorry, Sunday, December the 1st is the annual Fireman's Breakfast over Zaleski Fire Department, and they're having that. Hunters are welcome. Carryout is available. That runs from 8 a.m. and continues until 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, December 1st at the firehouse. Moving on to Monday, December the 2nd, there will be no school again. That's the first Monday after Thanksgiving, so no school. The Vinton County Commissioners will meet at 10 a.m. We do have girls basketball at versus Paint Valley at Vinton County High School, and it'll get underway around 6 p.m. Tuesday, December the 3rd, we have Vinton County basketball at Miami Trace, Vinton County girls basketball at Jackson. Of course, the St. Francis food mobile food pantry is going to be in Radcliffe at 9:30 and New Plymouth at 1:30. And so that's going to be a busy day, Wednesday, December the 3rd. On December the 4th, we moved to that day we're going to have wrestling at, it says at Tri, and then parenthetically Paint Valley. That must mean a Tri match at Paint Valley. Again, the food pantry is going to be in MacArthur on December the 4th. On December the 5th, we have girls basketball at Wellston. That will get underway around 6 o'clock. And the middle school boys basketball at Wellston as well on Thursday, December the 5th. On December the 6th, and we will be publishing a podcast that day, Vinton County High School boys basketball against Alexander at Vinton County High School. So those are the things on our calendar for the next 2 weeks. I will also mention that Saturday, December the 7th, is in fact Christmas in Downtown. The Vinton County Chamber of Commerce is going to be sponsoring that. And a few episodes back, we had a interview with Trisha Kimes Brown in her other capacity, in which she told us all about that. Look on Facebook for more information about that, because there are lots of things that have changed, and the Facebook page probably does the best job of keeping you informed about that. So also want to mention, if you're listening on a podcatcher and you don't necessarily get all of the information, go to dbkmediaservices.com, go to the show post, any one of the show posts, and you'll see the calendar. I use a Google calendar that incorporates all these events, and you can get more details. And I realize kind of go through these hurriedly and so forth, and you might be able to pick up more information by going to those events. Reminder, though, too, that you can always communicate with me, drop me a line if you have a community event coming up. You can always do so by sending your information to VintonCountyOnTheAir@gmail.com or post it on our Facebook page. So remember, we need you to contribute to any of your community events. Well, we'll take a break and be back in just a moment with Angie Smith. And welcome back to Vinton County on the Air. In this segment, we're going to talk about a program that's coming up at the Vinton County High School on Saturday night, and that is the Distinguished Young Women program, which is going to be held at the high school. And to help us kind of fill in the blanks, we have one of our very own from Vinton County, Angie Hill Smith, who was in fact a junior miss from 1992, I believe. Angie, welcome to Vinton County on the Air.
Thanks, Bruce. Glad to be here. And actually, it was 1990.
Oh, 1990. Okay.
Yes.
Sorry. I must have got messed up in translation there. Anyway, Angie is a committee member for the program now. And Angie, if you can kind of fill us in on when this program started, when it came to Vinton County, maybe we'll start from there.
Okay. The program is one of the largest and oldest national scholarship programs for high school girls, and it actually started back in 1958 in Mobile, Alabama, and it's formerly known as Junior Miss, so that's probably what most people will recognize the name being. But it's really a great program for young girls, and it's for senior high school girls, really life-changing experiences that are offered through this, and it really encourages girls to really focus on their future in terms of going to college and furthering their education.
Okay, and when did it come to Vinton County?
It came to Vinton County in 1979, and our first junior miss was Sherry Rischel back then. So it's been going on for about 34 years.
I'll tell you how old I am. Sherry was in my class at school, so that was the first year it was happening here. Okay, and what do you think it offers to the participants?
So what it does provide for the participants, it's a way for them to really focus in on their future, specifically around going to college and really focusing them on what they want to do after high school. So they're thinking about things by participating in the program around their scholastic achievements. We focus in on physical fitness as well. And then it gives them an opportunity to do some public speaking. And then also there's an interview portion that we really want to focus in on trying to hone in on their abilities to interview effectively. And those are all skills that they'll take with them beyond just high school.
Okay, what besides the experiences that you talked about there, does the winner receive anything that might be beneficial to them?
Absolutely. Our local program gives away $3,600 in scholarships that night. And then what happens is at that program, The winner will go on to the state program, and there's additional scholarship monies that are available there. And then the winner of the state program goes on to the national program, which is held in Mobile, Alabama. And there's a tremendous amount of monies and college-granted scholarships at that point as well. So it's a huge opportunity for our local girls.
Where do the funds come from for the local scholarships?
Well, our local program is only one of two, and that's hosted by a county within the state of Ohio. And our franchise is owned by the Benton County Scholarship Foundation. Mm-hmm. And Marianne Simmons is the treasurer. She reorganized that local franchise. So we give away, like I said, about the $3,600 in scholarships that night, and that money is raised through community donations, the admissions at the door, the concessions that we do, and a small raffle also that night of the program.
Okay. And let's talk about the program itself coming up. That is this Saturday night. I believe it would be the 23rd. And yes. What time is the program?
The doors open at 6 p.m. and the program starts at 7. And it usually lasts a couple hours.
Okay. And so what will we actually witness during the program? I mean, are the interviews held during the program, or are they beforehand, and has other things gone on prior to the program?
So before the program starts that night, what the public does not see is the interview process, and that all takes place with our judging behind doors earlier in the day. And so they'll get an overall score for that, for the interview. And then also the other thing that they're being scored on behind, not within the public eye, is the scholastics part. So that night of the program, what the public gets to see is the talent. Each girl will showcase their individual talent. They'll also see fitness and self-expression.
Okay. And so then the judges take the stuff or the scores from beforehand and add to the scores from that evening, the activities that evening, and we come up with a winner at that point in time. Of course, they're all winners to us as well.
Absolutely.
Yep. And so that will take place at the Vinton County High School. Again, the doors open at 6 o'clock. Is that correct?
Yes,
make sure. Okay. And 7 o'clock, the actual event occurs, and as you said, takes about 2 hours or so.
Yes.
Okay. Of course, this will be published on the internet on Friday, so there's not a lot of time, but let's just say that somebody thinks this is a good idea and they would like to maybe support Distinguished Young Women of Vinton County. How would they go about doing that?
They can contact one of the local committee members or someone that is on the franchise. And that could be Marianne Simmons, who is there in the county, if anyone knows her.
Sure.
Or they could contact myself, or they could contact Andy Cottle or Amy Cottle.
All right. Thank you so much, Angie, for talking with us on Vinton County on the Air. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bruce.
Welcome back to Vinton County on the Air, speaking with the Vinton County Prosecutor, Tricia Kimes-Brown. Tricia, thank you again for being with us in Vinton County on the Air.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We wanted to talk a little bit about an event that you have coming up next Monday, November the 25th, at the Vinton County Middle School, and that's called Bully Proofing Our Youth. I wanted to talk first, as we go into this, about just what bullying is. I know it's a buzzword right now, a lot of attention being given to it, but sometimes I think the definition gets lost. Could you speak to us a little bit about what the definition of bullying is in your eyes?
Sure. There is a lot of attention given to bullying right now. It's something I think everybody has dealt with their whole lives, back from your grade school playground. And someone can think of that in, third grade, the kids sort of called the bully. So it's something that's been around since the beginning of time, I think. But there is a lot of attention, including media attention, legal attention to bullying right now, and probably rightfully so. There is a website called stopbullying.gov, There are actually a lot of websites related to bullying. There's one that's just, I think it's called bullyingdefinitions.com or something. There's a lot of websites with statistics on bullying. So if you just Google bullying, you'll get about probably way more information than you need. But the stopbullying.gov defines bullying as unwanted aggressive behavior among school-age children that involves a real or perceived power imbalance. The behavior is repeated or has the potential to be repeated over time, and it talks a little bit about the effects of bullying. I think I'm somewhat concerned, I guess, despite the fact that, you know, I want this to be something that folks are talking about, and I want there to be an open dialogue between parents and schools and different extracurricular activities and even among peers and their parents and friends. But I am somewhat concerned that kids have gotten the idea that everything is bullying. I have a 11-year-old daughter, and she, you know, she'll come home to me and say something that happened that day or something, and she'll call it bullying. And so once I have a discussion with her a little bit more about, well, what really happened, and, you know, and it really ends up at the end, it's something that's just, I don't know, kid drama or something something girls would have done to fight over a boy or something like that. And it may have hurt her feelings. It certainly may have been mean and unkind, but I don't know necessarily that it rises to the level of what we would really think of as bullying. So one of the purposes for Monday night is to try to think about, you know, is everything bullying? And how do we have a conversation with our kids when they come home and say they're being bullied? We really need to, instead of just stopping right there with the conversation and contacting law enforcement or schools or something, I think we need to have a deeper open communication with our kids about, you know, well, what really happened to you? And, you know, make sure that they aren't involved. Make sure that they're not giving as much as they're taking. And so it's not in any way, shape, or form to give bullying a pass or to give bullies a pass. But I really would like for people to start having a conversation with their kids about, okay, what's just going on here? And if it's something you can go talk to the teacher and resolve, you know, without everybody being called a bully or without, you know, it rising to that level or without law enforcement getting involved, then that would be wonderful. So one of the purposes of Monday night is to basically allow an opportunity for parents to be educated, too, about bullying and hopefully talk a little bit about what bullying really means.
Okay, so we've got to work on defining bullying and kind of recognizing when we see it. Do you think real bullying is on the rise, or is this just a hot-button issue that's getting a lot more play now?
Well, I think I guess what my concern is that bullying seems to be becoming more vicious, more elevated. It's not simply that playground person who bullies you at lunch and by the end of the day you're friends again and everything is wonderful. You have a spat and everything is smoothed over. The bullying that I'm seeing is actually resulting in violence, or, you know, becoming more vicious, becoming more hurtful, more traumatic for kids than just someone saying, you know, hey, you're skinny, or hey, you got long legs, or hey, your hair, you know, is brown. I mean, it's really becoming quite vicious stuff. It's really ruining reputations. And unfortunately, and the part that gives me the most pain is that it's really becoming physically violent.
Do you think, is social media playing a role in the increased incidents that you're seeing?
I think social media, the whole issue of what is called cyberbullying is even more, it's more prolific than ever. And basically, cyberbullying is bullying that takes place using electronic technology. So we're talking texting, we're talking Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, chat rooms, I mean, any form of electronic media that you can think of that kids use, they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And we've actually charged out cases for intimidations of victims, intimidation of witnesses, because of what people have posted, threatening stuff people have posted on Facebook, and we've been able to charge people out for that. So that's really a huge thing. I think it is more more widespread than we've ever seen, posting pictures of people on websites, creating profiles and using those to antagonize or intimidate people. It's huge. And what I don't understand that people don't recognize is that because all of this stuff is so easily trackable by law enforcement, trust me, it takes a lot of time to track down IP addresses, to track down accounts, but all of that can be done by search warrants and subpoenas for people's technical information and data. So the case is really, I won't say easy because it takes a lot of time, but because of the tracking abilities of law enforcement, once you get all that information, it's really easy to set up a case as to who's doing what. Mm-hmm. So it's really a bad idea in terms of the likelihood that you're going to be caught at this. So for that reason, it's not recommended.
Right.
But for a lot of other reasons, I think it is impacting. I think it's so accessible to kids. Almost every kid has a cell phone. So I think that's playing a huge role in elevating, escalating the bullying that may already be going on.
Okay. So I guess it does make sense, too, that it's on the increase because cell phones are on the increase, social media is on the increase. What do you think, I mean, why is there more bullying overall, though? Is it just because we have this new channel, or are there other reasons that lead to bullying?
I'm not sure what else is, you know, in the environment or, you know, just in society in general that's made it become more widespread. I mean, I could have a lot of theories, but access to technology, I think, is huge. Our kids are getting smarter. We're putting electronics in their hands way earlier. They have access to Google and, you know, Wikipedia and everything under the sun at their disposal. Tablets, iPads, you know, all of these things, iPods, everybody has every sort of technological element available to them. And so I think they're becoming smarter. I think they know how to use this stuff generally better than their parents.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's one thing, is that, you know, we as parents don't monitor all of this stuff maybe as good as we should. Because oftentimes my kid, you know, is able to use my cell phone and my internet better than I am. So, you know, perhaps that's an element, is that we don't monitor their accounts. We don't see, you know, what they're doing. We don't look at their Instagram. And that might be part of it too, is that we just sort of have taken I don't understand that whole world of technology approach. And so since we're not using it, we're not keeping up on what our kids are doing on it.
You think the new channel that is social media has led to a new ease with which to bully, and that is one of the reasons it's on the increase?
It's just a theory on my part. Yeah. I'm not a psychologist or anything like that, but it's just a theory on my part in terms of what I see in kids and what I see they're doing.
Well, in this evening that you're having at the Vinton County Middle School on Monday, November the 25th, and I will say it's between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m., what exactly are you going to do at this event?
Well, the idea came as a result of a sort of a combination of things all came together at one time. Earlier this year, it has been my goal to establish a series of public forums. I've wanted to do like one a quarter. I have ideas for all sorts of topics that we could do the forums on. The one that I thought I would do first was actually on sort of a primer to the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be able to have people come, teach people about why do you get a bond? Why did someone who just got arrested today, why are they out on the street today? I wanted to teach them about how the system works. Why does it take 6 months for a case to go through when it seems like it should just take 3 days, because after all, it only takes an hour on TV. So why is the system taking so long? Why don't I have the money back for my damaged car or my broken bedroom window that a kid threw a rock through? You know, why is this taking so long? Mm-hmm. So that was really the first forum that I wanted to do. I've been busy this year and it just hasn't gotten off the ground. So when Mr. Brooks became the superintendent, he invited me to come and meet with him. And one of the things we talked about, and I mentioned to them this idea of the forums I wanted to do, and the topic of bullying came up, and so he agreed that it might be possible for my office and the schools to sort of collaborate someday on a forum. And so that was really a positive meeting. And so a couple of months later, I got a call from Kathy McCorkle and said, hey, you know, Mr. Brooks says you'd like to put together some sort of public forum, and we have some funding available that we could provide a speaker. And so Kathy and I met. We came up with a few different possible topics for the upcoming year or so. And the one that seemed to be everyone was Facebooking me about, messaged me about, was actually bullying and issues with kids. So that's kind of where we went first, and that's why we're doing this seminar on this topic. And it was really because that's the one people ask the most for me to do. So they had some funding available to provide a speaker. So we will have a speaker. He is a doctor who does a lot of seminars and things on bullying. Kathy says he's a really great speaker. He will be doing two sessions that evening, one at 6 o'clock and one at 7 o'clock. It will run about 45 minutes each. They are the same session.
Okay.
So you really only have to devote 1 hour to this event of your week. And the doors will open about 5:45. There will be, I think, about 9 or 10 different agencies there with different stations, hopefully some interactive stuff to meet parents, meet kids, and give them information about bullying from the perspective of their agency. Once you visit those stations, you can listen to the speaker, and then if you haven't finished the stations, you can finish them before you leave. If you can't get there till the 7 o'clock station because you're working, then you can come a little bit earlier, spend some time at the stations, or just get there at 7, do the presentation, and then do the stations when you leave. So we kind of try to make it a little bit flexible with the least amount of time the parents needed to donate to it, and to give them the opportunity to do an early session or a later session.
Okay. And I see from posting that you have an event created on Facebook. Sojourners is going to be there, the Vinton County Sheriff's Office, Hopewell Health, the Vinton County Juvenile Court, and you say many more as well. So that will be, you say, doors open at 5:45. The first session begins at 6. The second session begins at 7. Many of these stations which we can go to between the forums and so forth. Will there be an opportunity for people to ask questions as well?
I'm assuming at some point during the speaker's presentation he'll be taking questions, but there won't really be an opportunity, as far as I can tell, in the agenda for people to ask questions of me or of the school representatives who are there. I'm hoping that Mr. Brooks is able to make it. I'm hoping that some of the school board members, a lot of teachers have replied and said they'll be there. So I'm hoping, but there won't be really an opportunity for folks to have an official question and answer with the officials. I will be there all evening. I am happy to take questions that evening. Just come up, approach me. I probably won't talk about specific cases with your kid or something that should be handled confidentially. My door is always open, so if someone is afraid to approach me that night or doesn't want to talk about it that night, and they just have questions about anything, they're more than welcome to stop by. But it's really more of an educational session than sort of a question and answer with school officials.
Okay. Just something that came to me, and I thought this might be something that someone out there may have in their mind, but if they've got a situation that they need to talk to somebody about, let's just say that they're a parent in the school system and they don't know where to go with it, where would you suggest they go first?
Well, they're always welcome to call my office. And with my staff, the victim's advocate, we can get them hooked up with any resources if they have a child who needs counseling. If they want to make a report in terms of a criminal report, then we can get them headed in the right direction. The calls to my office are confidential, so we're not going to go and contact, the person who is allegedly the aggressor. We're not going to call their parents up. We're not going to try to rat them out or make fun of them. through the victim's advocate. If a child or their parents need a stalking order, that's also possible. We also the victim's advocate does help folks with juvenile anti-stalking orders. So if you have something that's really serious, that there's constant aggression, constant stalking, and then you can talk to the victim's advocate about even filing through court to get a stalking order to protect one kid from another kid. So those things that can all be started at my office. But I guess I want people to, as we try to figure out amongst ourselves more, what is bullying? Is this bullying that's really going on? I really, I understand totally that there's a fear that if the kid says something, they might be retaliated against. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I can say is that we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that doesn't happen. Because I don't want that to happen either. I don't want kids who report to then be targeted more. So, you know, as this becomes more prolific, then we're going to have more and more policies in place to try to protect those kids. There's also a school resource officer in the schools. You could approach that person, approach a teacher, approach a counselor, approach someone you trust. But please let us know, because we don't want it to get out of control until where the victim feels that they have no other recourse than to harm themselves or attack the aggressor, because that's not the scenario we want to create either. And unfortunately, the worst case scenarios that we see on TV and stuff are basically kids who just can't take it anymore, kids who have been bullied, kids who have been picked on, and they commit suicide. And I don't want to see that in Vinton County.
All right. That is Bullyproofing Our Youth, Monday, November the 25th at the Vinton County Middle School. Begins with the first session at 6. The doors will open at 5:45, and second session ends up at 8 p.m. Prosecuting Attorney Tricia Kimes-Brown, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Bruce. And I would also note, because it seems to be a big factor, there will be snacks.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Tricia.
Thanks, Bruce. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You know, for the last few weeks, as a result of an equipment problem, I had to give Carl Knox an extended vacation. But now the IT department here at Vinton County on the Air has got all the problems remedied, and he's back behind the mic as he talks with the always intense Matt Combs. Take it away, Carl.
All right. Thanks, Bruce. And this week, Carl Knox, happy to be joined by Vinton County Athletic Director, as well as the head coach of the Vinton County Varsity Boys Vikings, Matt Combs. How you doing, Coach?
Great. How you been?
I think I feel a little bit better than I sound, because I'm fighting a cold, something terrible. But, you know, it is the cold and flu season, Coach.
It is.
As I haven't seen you in this room, actually, for all the Vinton County on the Air listeners, that, you know, Coach Combs and I are going to spend a lot of time on this interview making shameless plugs for our podcast, the Viking Roundball podcast, which is going to launch, I think, December the 2nd is when we're doing the first one. But brought you in here today. I appreciate you taking time out of your very, very busy schedule to come in and talk to us about not only the 2013-2014 Vinton County boys basketball program, but also kind of going to get in a little bit as several of our listeners, maybe not everyone knows, you took over the reins as the Vinton County Athletic Director 2 years ago, and that obviously added a tremendous amount of responsibilities and duties to your plate there. But let's start out with basketball. Doesn't seem like it ought to be basketball season yet, but here we go. This is going to air, I guess, Friday. We're taping this Monday, just to give you an idea of how busy Coach Combs is. But coming off a good season last year, made it to the district finals and bowed out, had 6 seniors graduate. Tell me a little bit about your varsity squad so far this year.
Well, as you say, we had 6 seniors graduate. So as you can imagine, we have a lot of new faces. We are definitely a little young. We have some seniors back, but even really outside of Alex Owens, we don't have a lot of experience there. But I like the group we have, a real good group of kids to work with. good kids on and off the court, and they're learning, they're getting there. I mean, we've, you know, at this point in the year, you struggle a little bit with young teams and scrimmages or whatever, and we've had our good and bad moments in the two scrimmages that we've had at this point. But, you know, I thought back the other day, I've had some really good teams that were terrible at this time of year in scrimmages too. Right. So it's not time, obviously, you don't push the panic button because of some scrimmage stuff. You're trying to get some stuff in and work on things, but I like the group we have. I think eventually this group's going to get it, and it's going to click, and we're going to be pretty good. You hope sooner than later, but you know, sometimes with young teams, you can't really be attached to a time frame.
Yeah, and I know that, and you and I have talked over the years, as far as winning, losing scrimmages, it's really not something that I guess is paramount. It's you're kind of, as a coach, obviously individually trying to develop skills and get guys into game form, right. But also you're looking for combinations. And when you made the comment about the team's youth, obviously losing those six seniors in this year, I think you have three seniors on the team. One was a starter last year in Alex Owings, right. And then Ryan Slopko, he has not played since
school? Eighth grade, right.
Yeah, and then you got David Allen, who is a very good utility role player and plays with a heart like a lion. But after that, I know there is a lot of the talk or the buzz around the county, so to speak, has been about you know, this incoming freshman class, you know, the talent level there. And you're seeing some, I saw at the last scrimmage, not that I'm going to forget some of them, but like Tristan Bartow, some kids that are freshmen that are actually going to dress varsity this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, we have three freshmen dressing varsity. We also have a very good sophomore class. The freshman class we had last year, people will remember that guys like Jordan Albright and Chase Wood and Sean Cottle gave us a lot of good minutes, even on the varsity level. And unfortunately, you know, most people probably know we lost Sean for the year to an ACL injury that he sustained in football. And that's a blow to us, but it's a bigger blow to him. Yeah, that's what you got to remember. It's a lot worse for him than it is for us. He has to go through this, have the surgery, do the rehab. So your heart goes out to him, really. But it is a blow to our team as well, because that's a big part of you know, our arsenal that we were hoping to have. But he's going to get better. You know, rehab, hopefully have him back next year. But you're right. The freshman and sophomore classes, we have a lot of talent there. But you know, we still you know, we have enough respect for these seniors, and you know, especially guys like Alex Owens has been around for so long that, you know, we're not building for the future. I mean, we're trying to win right now, and we think some of these younger kids can help us do that now.
Well, it should be an interesting season. I know you start out your season at the, I forget the date, but the Zanesville tip-off class.
29th at Zane Trace, yeah.
Against Eastern Brown, and you've got some dandy draws over there over the years. And for anyone listening to our podcast that would like more information or be able to stay current on Vinton County Boys Viking Basketball, we suggest you on Facebook, you go to Vinton County Vikings Basketball, just do a search there. You'll find our Facebook page, and between Coach Combs, myself, and Terry Hale, who handles a lot of the information, sports information, we keep that thing updated, and you can also subscribe to our podcast. But we do have the schedule up, and you know, as far as looking at the TVC Ohio this year, for fans who may or may not be updated, I guess you were co-champs last year, shared the title with the Athens Bulldogs. Of course, Athens not only did well in basketball, but they're in the middle of another very successful football run. I think it goes without saying you would probably look at the Bulldogs to be one of the favorites in the TVC Ohio this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think most people are going to obviously pick them, and understandably so. I mean, we were co-champs with them last year. They really didn't graduate a whole lot. Had a lot of young guys that are back, and so, you know, but it's like I said the other day, you got to go play the games. We've had years where a lot of people thought we were going to be, you know, we were going to be great, and we weren't, or we weren't going to be good, and we were, and you know, so we don't worry too much about all that. We got to go play, you know, each league game, the, you know, the way it's laid out on the schedule. But definitely, Athens has a lot of talent, and really the whole league. I'm not going to sit and go through every team, but right. I'd say the majority of the teams in our league probably feel like they're better this year than they were last, because there was a lot of young kids playing last year.
True. And, you know, that's the thing, is a lot of things can happen between now and February. And it's, as I know one of your former coaches said, when you hand a ball to a bunch of, you know, 14 to 18-year-old kids, a lot of crazy stuff can go out there on the court.
Yes, he did say that. Stuff was substituted with another word, but we'll leave that off the fine podcast here that Bruce puts on. But you're right. When you put what you do in the hands of teenagers, strange things happen.
It is a fine podcast. I don't know if I'd put it in the same category as the Viking Roundball podcast.
I'll let you guys fight that out.
Well, you know, opinions may vary. I just hope he doesn't put any cheesy bumper music. It's not bumper music. It's bumper music. But if he gives us something like, you know, the theme to It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood or Mr. Rogers, this might be my last interview on the Vinny Kenny on the air. Switching gears a little bit. But we do encourage, I just before we get into the athletic department and all of your responsibilities there, I think that, you know, one thing that maybe for our listeners that might go to the games and don't know you, and you're pretty intense, you know, how much it means, and it's and I know you're overwhelmingly satisfied, and it means a lot to you personally, it means a lot to the other coaches and obviously the kids, of how much you guys not only really admire and respect the Vinton County community, but how you would also encourage people to come out and provide more support mm-hmm. to not only the boys program, but the girls program, and how that's kind of a, I guess, you know, basketball's taken off here in the last 12, 13 years, and I think a lot of that is not just to say the kids have done it all or you've done it all, but I think you as a community-minded person, you really like seeing the community support, you know, the program and the school district.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing I've always noticed. I noticed it when I first got here, you know, almost 15 years ago now, that the community really supports their kids here, supports their teams, because even some teams, you know, when we first got here in basketball, we weren't winning necessarily a lot of games, still had pretty good crowds. Right. You know, I noticed over the last couple of years, when the football team was only winning one game, still had pretty good crowds. Obviously, you know, they always go up a little bit when you win. Our football gates were up a little bit this year because they were 5-5. And
right.
But you're always going to have some of that. But even when we haven't been successful, our fans have been great. And it's important, obviously. I mean, you talk about the athletic side of it. I mean, there is a financial, you know, aspect to this. And,
sure.
And you know, when the fans come out and really support it, it not only, like you say, emotionally helps our kids, but financially helps the athletic department.
And that'll be a good segue to get into your responsibilities as athletic director. What, 2 years ago, the former athletic director or activities director, I guess, whatever the title is, Teresa Disbenet, she left the position, and you know, you kind of stepped in, and you took over the reins of the AD position. Just off the top of my head, is it about what you thought it would be, or is there just a tremendous amount more work that goes on behind the scenes for what the athletic director does than what you imagined?
I mean, there is a lot more work, but it's about what I'd kind of prepared myself for it. I'd been around long enough as a coach to have a pretty good idea of what, you know, those guys, or in Teresa's case, had to do as an AD. And, you know, obviously, with the loss of Alice Taylor a couple years ago,
sure.
You know, she did so much of the little things behind the scenes. But we, you know, really, Vinton County's designed it in a way that's made it fair for me. We have some site managers that help out in terms of the coverage. So, you know, a lot of my responsibilities and work fall, you know, during the work day in terms of the financial end of things, the scheduling, the officials. I do cover some, you know, like the varsity football, and obviously coaching, I'm there in basketball a lot, but you know, really the administration here designed it in a way that did make it fair for me and made me able to do it. I really have no complaints. Like you say, there's always going to be a little more responsibility with it, but I kind of enjoy the organizational side of it a little bit. And you know, there's days like everybody has at their job where it overwhelms you a little bit, but for the most part, it's been fine.
Well, and I know that, you know, through once basketball season gets here, as any coach in any sport, obviously going from just being a teacher or, you know, being over the alternative school, just your level of responsibilities, and then, oh, by the way, you kick in the fact that you got two children under the age of 10 years old,
right.
and a wife who has a career, then things get kind of little out of hand.
Yeah, I mean, all those things are tough to balance, but it's nothing that everybody else doesn't balance in their everyday life too. So I try to, you know, keep it in perspective. But I've enjoyed it. It's you know, I've enjoyed some of the contacts that I've been able to, you know, make as an AD, and just some of the relationships that you form. And we have a very supportive community. A lot of businesses that do a lot for our kids and our athletics. And and it's just it's really a pretty good situation here at Vinton County in terms of you know, the support and the community involvement. And I haven't been to a lot of places to compare it to, but it seems like we have it going in the right direction.
Okay, well, Coach, I tell you, I appreciate your stopping by. Again, for the listeners of Vinton County on the Air, if you're at all interested in Viking basketball, again, we suggest you go to the Vinton County Vikings basketball Facebook page. Like us there. You'll get all the information, as well as information on the Viking Roundball podcast that we put out weekly. Pretty much we record on Mondays. It's usually released by 7 or 8 o'clock every Monday evening. And I'll just tell the Vinton County on the Air listeners, because sometimes that demographic is a little older, and we're not trying to run you off. We're trying to bring you on board, but things can get a little out of hand in that podcast. We tend to be a little, we try to have fun with it.
Got to have fun, man. If you don't have fun, the job becomes a drag. You have to laugh and have a good time.
Although sometimes getting you to have fun during the season, especially after a couple losses, becomes a little bit more problematic on my part. But
you got to catch me at the right time.
Well, but I've been around you long enough, be it in the studio or obviously on the golf course. I really know how to handle that situation, and that's a coaching art in and of itself. But anyhow, check out our Facebook page at Vinton County Vikings Basketball. Also, throughout the year, if you're not on Facebook, you can always go to DBK Media Services. That is the actual production house, Bruce Knox's website that he does, not only Vinton County on the Air, but also the SVC Sports Zone. And I'm sure that we will be summoning you back to Vinton County on there sometime between now and the end of the season. But again, good luck to you, Coach, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks, man.
Carl and Matt kind of beat me up pretty badly there in the interview, but oh well, we'll have to look into reducing Carl's already meager wage even further. Seriously, though, I do appreciate Matt taking the time to talk with us and Carl for arranging that interview. You know, in the interview, they alluded to it, but I do want to mention that Carl and Matt are going to be cranking up the Viking Roundball Hour podcast in just a few weeks. In fact, first episode should be published on Monday, December the 2nd. You can find that worthy podcast also on dbkmediaservices.com. Go to the DBK Media Services website, click on the Viking Roundball podcast category along the right-hand side of that page, and you'll be taken to all the previous episodes where you can listen to all the episodes. Podcast is entering its third season, so there are actually already 25 episodes out there that you can take in, and more just around the corner. Also, if you're interested in Vinton Viking basketball, please make sure that you like their page on Facebook. Just search for Vinton County Vikings basketball. And so, episode number 10 of Vinton County on the Air is in the books. As always, I need you to contribute, subscribe, and share. Contribute show ideas and community information. Subscribe via email or via a podcatcher, or you can subscribe on Stitcher and share. That is, tell all your friends and help spread the word about Vinton County on the Air. So until next Friday, actually two Fridays from now, December the 6th, for Vinton County on the Air, this is Bruce Knox saying take care, and I hope to see you on the internet. And oh yeah, have a happy Thanksgiving.